This is Richard S. at his house in Bellevue, Kentucky. It's November 20th of 2022, and I'm going to be reading The History of the Promises Club in Newport, Kentucky, and this is put together by Vic G. It was in 1985, 50 years after the start of AA, that a group of recovering alcoholics from Northern Kentucky started talking about forming an AA clubhouse. This group was formed after a Sunday morning meeting at the Holiday Inn in Covington, Kentucky. Charlie C. was asking members to get together and start a committee. It was decided we would meet at Russell Street Meeting Place to discuss it. Thereafter, we met each month at Russell Street. At the first meeting, a handful of AAs showed up. They included Charlie C., Robin G., and Don D., which I used, their names as they're deceased now at this writing. Also in attendance was Brenda O., Hoot E., Vic G., and a handful of others of whom I cannot remember. We liked the idea of having a clubhouse that would be open 24 hours a day and service AA members, AA groups, and people just trying to stay sober. Great idea, 24 hours, all night long. At that time, the only clubhouse in the area was Oak Street in Cincinnati, Ohio. Oak Street was owned by a service corporation for the use of AA groups. Oak Street was open throughout the day and closed at night. Russell Street Meeting Place was not looked upon as a clubhouse. It just opened its doors for the meetings and closed right after. Russell Street had a board to run it and was leased from Mother of God Church. It was located in Covington, Kentucky, on Russell Street. In Louisville, there was the Token Club, which operated similar to Oak Street. At the first meeting, we elected a board of directors and a committee to search for a location. Charlie C. was elected president, Robin G. vice president, Brenda O. secretary, and Vic G. treasurer. All of us sober just a few years or less, with the exception of Don D. with 15 years. The committee for location was Don D., Charlie, Vic G., and Hoot E. We decided to take a field trip to the Token Club in Louisville. We did and got a lot of our questions answered. After a few meetings, the committee came up with a possible location. This was on Highland Avenue in Covington. I think a small Methodist church. It was the rectory building on the side. Well, everyone got excited and we met to see the building. There were 10 or 12 of us there, including the board, Tony D., and others. A great, beautiful building, two-story, electric out because of decay, water out because of decay, needed a new furnace, ductwork, floors gave under our feet because of water damage and decay. Floor beams needed replacing, large holes in the roof, walls in decay. Like I said, it was beautiful, just for us, and even had a parking lot. We applied to the city of Covington for zoning. Time passed. Word got out in the city of our intentions. Oh, we were excited. About that time, a group from the neighborhood got excited also. They got so excited, they got behind us with signs and even went to the city council and zoning meetings with us. The signs read, "We don't want those people in our neighborhood." They even went to our neighbors around Russell Street. They found out we hung out in front of the building and parked in front of the neighborhood's homes. We got the letter from the city. They did not want us either. I and many of us wore out writing pads and inventories over our rejection. We kept on looking. I was working at Sunrise Federal Bank on Madison Avenue as a loan officer. One day, I had the bishop of the Northern Kentucky Methodist Church in my office on church business. We got into a discussion of a spiritual nature. This was a moving experience for me, as I found my spiritual experience just a few years before this in AA. When our business and conversation was over, the bishop started to leave my office. He stopped at the doorway, turned to look at me, and said, Do you know anyone looking to buy a church? I have two for sale. Very reasonable. I looked at the bishop and could not speak, and he never spoke to me. All I remember was a great spiritual rush hit both of us there in my office, and both of us were shaking. I stuttered and got out the words, "I think I do." I went on to explain the part of my life few people on the outside of AA knew, that I was alcoholic, and went on to explain I was part of this committee looking for a clubhouse. We agreed to meet with him and the committee at a church at 9th and Ann Street in Newport. The price, $35,000. We entered the side door of the church at 9th and Ann Streets in Newport. There was a small hallway into the main first floor room. At the left was a small closet under the stairs which housed the electric box. This was antique, the original electric board and wires. Only a few electric circuits with the old round fuses, old cloth wires that were wound. In the main first floor room was a stage on the far wall with everything in between piled high and covered with a thick coating of black dust. Looks like a storage room for all the Methodist churches in the area that dated back for years. There were stairs to the left leading up to the second floor. As we ascended the stairs, it opened up into the main chapel. What a sight! Stained glass everywhere. The windows went from just above the floors to the ceiling. Oak pews from the front to the back. Slanted floors to give the parishioners a better view of the pulpit. An organ on the raised altar floor with an oak pulpit and three high-back carved chairs for the preacher. As we turned around, we saw the balcony on the third floor. This was big enough to seat another 100-plus persons. Yes, 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 we wanted it and made a deal with the bishop. The deal, $28,000 with 10% deposit, and we would raise funds for the rest. This was pending zoning approval and loan approval. I think the entire committee felt like I did, that there was some spiritual guidance in finding this building in this location in Newport. Now came the hard part. God, please guide us, for we had to get the neighbors, the city of Newport, and the zoning committee on our side. We also had to get a loan. What bank in their right mind would lend us the money to buy this old broken-down church? We had no money. We knew if we followed AA guidelines and principles, no one individual could give us or lend us the funds to get started. We also could not allow anyone to co-sign or guarantee the loan. I knew an attorney in Covington that did work for my bank, his name, David S. I knew if anyone could get past the zoning, he could. David did a lot of commercial real estate transfers and did a lot of zoning work. He also wrote a lot of legislation for the state. Now this is getting crazy. I approached David and told him I was a member of AA about what our committee was doing and the fact that we had no money or very little money. After David talked to his partners, he got back to me with said his firm would work pro bono for free. A wonderful attorney was assigned to us by the name of Tim B. He wound up to be a real fighter that donated hundreds of hours to us, including most nights and weekends. While Tim was working on our corporate charter as a not-for-profit service corporation in our zoning, I was working on the commercial loan application. This fit in with my education and occupation. It included a 5-year profit and loss projection along with a statement of who we were and what our goals were. Charlie and I met every day and many nights planning every detail for the next 5 years. What a job. Charlie was typical AA, one day at a time and don't worry about tomorrow. I was a typical banker that needed to make realistic projections for the next 5 years. The board approved a system to get working capital for loan, down payment, and improvements to the building. We were just going to ask 100 AA members to lend promises, $100 each, and we would pay them back within 10 years. I told you this was getting crazy. Guess what? It worked. I wrote 100 receipts for $100 each. We had our $10,000 for down payment and improvements. Please note that within 3 or 4 years, only one or two receipts were turned back for the funds, All others sent letters of donation. $5,600 was used for down payment and $4,400 for improvement. This started to make the projections for our loan application feasible. The commercial loan application was presented to my employer, Sunrise Federal Savings and Loan Association. I walked the application through the bank's loan committee and to the bank's board of directors for approval. I had to get past my immediate boss. This is the guy I fought tooth and nail over everything. This was before I found acceptance. At the board meeting, I presented the loan application for $23,400. This application was God-inspired. This is when I heard the thing I did not want to hear. My boss told the board he did not think the bank should make a loan to those people. My heart sunk with that sick feeling I get when my world's falling apart. Just then, the chairman of the board, Wayne C., leaned over the board table, looked my boss right in the eye, and said, "You would be surprised who is in that program. The loan is approved." I felt that this was God at work. Please show us the way. In the meantime, Tim B., the attorney, was having all sorts of opportunities. The state did grant us the 501c3 status of not-for-profit service corporation. The zoning was a different story. Tim asked us to go to all our neighbors, tell them who we were and what we do, and ask for their support. It worked. The neighbors supported us. The only opposition came from a group 5 blocks away from the church. These individuals showed up at the city commissioners' meetings, zoning meetings, and called the newspapers. We went with Tim to all the meetings. It took months. Finally, we got it, with conditions such as parking, fire marshal inspection, etc., etc. Tim B. was a blessing to Promises. He fought hard, with no rewards except our sincere thank you. Tim passed away within a few years after helping us from a seizure in his home. Now for the improvements to clean this place up. Charlie, Don D., and many volunteers hauled away loads upon loads of junk from the first floor and balcony. Bill C. did a lot of work on the electric wiring and within a few years, a lot more electrical improvements. Thank you, Bill, for donating the nice light at the top of the stairs. The place was painted. First floor and Don from Oak Street and a group of volunteers painted the second floor. Our first AA meeting was the first day we walked in the door. The Promises Board decided to follow the AA guidelines for clubhouses. The main thing was to keep all AA groups autonomous from the corporate or from the service corporation. That is, they had their own group consensus, their own treasurer, and pay rent to Promises. Promises had no say over the groups, only the building. We asked the groups to pay a minimum rent if they had it. We asked for membership pledges, $5 a month. That helped. The board approved selling the pews, stained glass windows, and the organ. Well, the bishop stopped in and asked if he could have the organ. In good faith, we gave it to him. The pews were sold for $100 apiece. We kept two for history's sake. The stained glass windows did not do well. We could not sell them and make a profit after the replacements. The club was off and rolling with meetings and fellowship. We were waiting for our first guy to say, "I got sober at Promises Club." That took time. Charlie was president for about 2 years. He got a volunteer to watch over the coffee bar and building, which was our building manager. The volunteer was Bob. After a while, Charlie got another building manager, Joe S., a.k.a. Druggy Joe. Then another opportunity hit us. I got a call from Charlie's wife. Charlie had had a heart attack and he had passed. We thought Charlie would be there forever. That did not happen. I remember when Charlie was laid out, Druggy Joe and I stood along with Charlie's wife the entire night and introduced her to the hundreds of AA members as they filed past. Charlie was missed. The Board of Promises had to elect a new president and board chairman. Robin G. was moved from vice president to chairman of the board. I was elected president. We built a room on the third floor for the board meeting, and when not in use, it was to be used for fifth steps. After a year or two in office, I was moved to chairman of the board and another president was elected. I felt a strong attachment to the Promises Club to those years, and I did not want anything to happen to it. I knew this was not healthy for me or Promises Club. If I would turn it over and let Promises Club keep others sober as it did for me. A note from Vic G, the writer. I am writing this in August of 2011 to preserve my memories of early days of the Promises Club. I am approaching 70 years of age and fear age may lose some of these memories in the future. Others may have memories of their own, which I hope they preserve. I'd like to thank Vic G for his contribution. Thank you.